Picture that story that we just heard. It was Sunday afternoon. Two disciples of Jesus, who I like to think of as husband and wife, were on their way home from Jerusalem. They'd walk this road often, and the 11-kilometer trip usually took them about 2 hours. But today, their steps were slow. Their feet felt like lead, and their hearts were very, very heavy. 3 days earlier, their friend and teacher had been crucified. They'd been shocked by the rapid turn of events, deeply grieved by his death. But they were dealing with more than just the loss of a friend. They had lost their hope. They had lost the one who they believed to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Because they were walking so slowly, another traveler overtook them. "Peace be with you," he said. "May I walk with you?" "Certainly," said Cleopas. "We're on our way to Emmaus." They walked a short way, and then the man spoke. "As I was overtaking you, I heard you talking. You sounded very sad. What were you discussing?" Cleopas and Anna stopped walking. Their dejection was written clearly on their faces. And Cleopas answered, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what has happened here in the past few days?" "What are you talking about?" the man asked. So Cleopas told him the sad story about Jesus. He spoke of Jesus' mighty words and deeds. He explained how Jesus was arrested, tried, condemned, and crucified. And he added, "His death took away all our hope, for we were sure that he was the promised Messiah who would redeem Israel." And then Cleopas went on to tell about the astounding report of the women who had gone to the tomb and had seen angels who told them that Jesus was alive. Of course, he said, they didn't see him themselves. The stranger listened carefully, seemed to ponder that all that Cleopas had said. He was silent for a while. Then he said, "My dear friends, aren't you being foolish to be so sad? Aren't you failing to understand what the scriptures teach? Do you really think that these events mean that Jesus wasn't the Messiah? Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And he began to call their attention to one passage of scripture after another, explaining to them how each passage bore on the events that had so saddened them. The time passed quickly as the stranger spoke. Unconsciously, they picked up their pace to their normal walk, and before they realized that they were entering their home village of Emmaus. As they came to their house, the stranger bade them farewell and kept to the road, but Anna spoke up, "Sir, it's getting late. It's time for the evening meal. Unless you have a nearby destination, won't you stop and spend the night with us? We'd be honored to have you share our hospitality. You've taught us so much." The stranger agreed. Anna quickly put together a cold meal. They sat together around the table. And then suddenly, the visitor took over the place of the host. He took the bread that Anna had set on the table, offered the usual blessing to God, broke it, and handed it to them. And suddenly, they realized that it was Jesus. And as the dawning realization showed on their eyes and on their faces, Jesus smiled raised his hand in blessing, and vanished. Now, think with me about how Jesus revealed himself to those disciples. First of all, he revealed himself in the scriptures, our Old Testament. I think he showed them how the whole sweep of the Old Testament story led up to the coming of the Messiah who must suffer and die to redeem God's people. It was not just a passage here and there about the Messiah, but the trajectory of the whole revelation of God's redemptive plan that pointed to the suffering servant of God. That was important for them, and it's important for us. Jesus did for those disciples what the New Testament writers have done for us. He showed them that he himself was the center of God's redemptive plan for the whole creation. But, and I think this is important, but his exposition of Scripture didn't open their eyes. Their eyes were open when Jesus broke bread and shared it with them. Isn't that amazing? The simple act of breaking and sharing bread opened their eyes. Now, I think we can understand that in two ways. We can see it as a picture of the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, where Jesus is both the host at the table and the bread and wine that we receive. But it would be an incomplete picture of Holy Communion. It would be the bread without the cup. So I'm more inclined to see this as table fellowship, the breaking and sharing of bread, which in that culture, in that society, created a positive relationship between those who share the bread. When we see it in that way, the most simple acts that we do at home, at work, wherever, the most simple acts that draw us together with one another are places where Jesus may choose to reveal himself to us. For Jesus is not only present when we gather here for worship. He is present in every action that unites rather than divides, that heals rather than hurts, that blesses rather than curses. So what does that mean? Well, when you share a meal with someone else, Jesus is there with you. When we gather together to eat as a church family, as we do on rare occasions, Jesus is present. When side by side has lunch together every Wednesday, Jesus is there. And when we leave this service and go over and have coffee together, Jesus is also present with us there. When you give a donation to the food bank, you are part of each meal that gift provides, and Jesus is there with you. Jesus is not only with us in what we call the sacred, the holy, like this time of worship. Jesus is with us in all of life, in the profane as well as in the sacred. He is with us in our homes, in school classrooms, in the workplace, wherever we are. Our relationship with Jesus is not just for Sunday morning. Jesus is with us every minute of every day of every week. We only need to be able to see him. And that's one reason why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, to open our eyes so that we may see the Lord in every part of our lives. Oh God, by the Holy Spirit's work, open our eyes that we may see your Son with us in all of our lives, now and always. Amen.